I have to ask you about what the president wrote yesterday. Now, everybody who's done seventh grade civics knows the president does not have direct control over an election because this is not a dictatorship. That's pretty simple. But what do you think?
I almost don't know what to say. Sometimes I think I can't hear anything else that will shock me, but that did shock me, that he would come out and say that publicly. You know, just saying these things off the cuff just seems so destructive to me, because one thing it's doing is creating this vast distrust among the American public in their elections. That is the most destructive thing of all. So just that simple fact that he's attempting to really undermine the American elections is just terrifying to me. I think that's the one thing people have always, up till now, had a pretty touching faith in the election process. And frankly, I think they were justified in that faith. You know, there have been problems here and there, but we have been proud of our peaceful transition of power, as they say, in this country. And to undermine that at this point in time, when we have this terrible virus raging throughout the world, just seems to me terribly destructive.
And you can guarantee here on WTIC 1080 that November 3rd, whether you vote absentee or not, November 3rd is the date.
Yes, absolutely. We are going forward. And by the way, there will be a statement from the National Association of Secretaries of State, bipartisan, saying that we states, we're prepared to go forward. We're the ones that run elections, and they're going to go forward on November 3rd as planned.
How are the preparations going for August 11th?
Well, they're very busy, I'll say that. Preparations are going along. We've had an overwhelming response to the applications for absentee ballot for the primary, which is what we're engaged in right now. And we have in about 250,000 ballots have gone out as of now, and we're expecting probably more like 300,000 by the time we're done. So this is a big change from the way we do business.
Are you experiencing any delays with the post office? That's one thing that's come up recently, is the post office is struggling.
Yes, it is a problem. We are working directly with the post office. As a matter of fact, they literally come to our mail house and pick up the election mail right now because it's been so difficult getting everything out the door in a timely way. But I think the ballots will probably all be delivered by Monday or Tuesday at the latest. And then there is the matter of getting them back, and that will be different because each voter will put their own ballot in the U.S. mail, and that they are marked as election mail, and supposedly that will help the post office recognize that that's priority mail. So we're hoping it all works out, but you're right. It's the post office is struggling like the rest of us to try to make things work.
Is this a good test for November, because November is so much bigger, and you do have two, at least the presidential primaries in August, there are presumptive winners of that.
Yes, although it is looking to me like we are going to have an overwhelming vote for the presidential preference primary, even though it is, as you say, sort of a done deal at this point. But people seem to be pouring in the number of absentee ballots. I mean, you have to remember, we mailed out the total number of eligible registered voters for primaries, and that would be Republicans or Democrats, was about 1.2 million. And if we're going to get in 300,000 absentee ballots alone, that's almost the number of people that totally voted in the last presidential primary in 2016. So it tells me there's going to be a big turnout. I think this absentee ballot voting has really encouraged people to come out and vote.
Who's printing all this stuff?
This gets printed by a place called LHS. We have always used this company to print ballots, and that's another complexity of Connecticut's particular situation. We have 169 towns and 40 different ballots this year just for the primary, because there are different primaries on the ballot. Besides just the presidential primary, you have local primaries, you have local questions, all kinds of other things. These are challenging things because in Connecticut, it's such a local process. We don't have counties in Connecticut. So that's why we have so many different ballots, different types of cities, and towns, and lots and lots of checks and balances in place, because we've never really used absentee ballots very extensively. Typically, we'll have maybe 5% of people using absentee ballots in Connecticut. So this is a big change for us.
The process of mailing came up a lot in the debate over absentee for November. And one of the questions was, you know, why are all these dead people getting ballots that came out? So what is the list going to be better for November? Is there a legitimate problem with dead people and duplicates, things like that?
It's really, really difficult to keep these lists up, mainly because the voters are the ones that are supposed to tell us whether they're on or off the rolls and in what location. And so when you think about the way the lists are maintained, they're maintained at the local level by local registrars. And every year they do a canvas. They will mail out postcards or use the U.S. Postal Service list to see if someone is still at that address. If they don't return the postcard or they're not on the U.S. Postal Service list, they can be taken off the voter list and placed on the inactive voter list. So they're still on the list, but they're kind of in a slightly less status. We're very, very careful before we take anyone off a list. It is your right to vote. It's not like being on a list, you know, to receive products or something like that. So that being said, the dead people on the rolls thing comes up periodically. That is done by the Department of Public Health reports to the towns who has died within a certain period. I think they report every 6 months, something like that. But a lot of people will go out of state and then die out of state. We would not get notification of that. So the only way that the towns get notified if someone is no longer alive at that residence and no longer a voter is if someone tells them. So my advice to people is if you're getting mail for someone who has died and has not been taken off the list, tell the town, send it to the registrars and let them know that that person no longer is there. And unless that happens, you can see where they wouldn't be taken off the list. And so that's been a problem in every state, but it's not a real problem unless somebody who's dead actually votes. Then you have a problem because there are many, many people that are on more than one list because people move. There's a great deal of mobility. And so it's really, really difficult to keep up these lists. I would defend the local registrars on that one.
And the connection they make after mentioning the dead people, who that's true, there's a 100% record of dead people not voting. one of the things they connect it to it, they take that and they try and extrapolate it to there's going to be voter fraud, there's going to be ballot harvesting. What's your response when people ask you about that?
Yeah, well, none of that has ever been substantiated. First of all, there's been very little evidence that it's going on, period. But periodically, people do report these things to our Election Enforcement Commission, which is the commission that acts on these kinds of claims. They're brought there just like a hearing, and they will investigate. And as far as I know, none of these have turned out to have enough evidence to prove that they're true. Now, I think the national statistic I saw somewhere is you're more likely to be struck by lightning than to experience voter fraud of this type in your state. It's like 0.0001% of these cases that have actually turned out to be true. So if it's true, and I would never say it's never true, but it's a very small problem, if at all.
The passage of the bill allowing for absentee in November, are you prepared for what's coming in November? And are you pleased with what happened in the House and Senate?
Oh, yes, I'm very pleased because I think, you know, the bottom line is voters can't be made to choose between their health and their vote. It's just not right. And there are many, many people who are either vulnerable, are actively sick, or could become sick if they go anywhere publicly. I mean, there's still a lot of elderly people who still don't go to the grocery store, and probably with reason. So I think it was imperative that we recognize this and made accommodation for them, both in the primary and in November. And I'm very glad that the Senate and the House passed this bill because it will allow us to do that. Now, that being said, as you can hear, it's hard to ramp up for this, but I think we're going to be okay. I think we're doing a pretty good job of it so far. I think the fact that we mailed all those applications to the Republican and Democratic voters for August is helpful because it will help us clean up that list. At least those, you know, we got about 100,000 back, I think, from the 1.2 million that we mailed. We are now busy sending those to the town so they can take those people off the list and make the list more accurate. And there will be more of that for the unaffiliated voters. But thankfully, we have a federal grant that was given to us exactly for the reason of helping facilitate the vote for November and recognizing that lots of people were going to be voting by mail. And so we'll be able to pay for sending out those applications again in the fall. And then, you know, I think this is a good test run. We're finding little glitches here and there in, you know, in the form and the way it's being sent back and so forth. I think it's very helpful to us. We're going to have some lessons learned, and hopefully we'll be able to manage this in the fall. I think the biggest problem I see ahead is that it's going to be very difficult to count the results in a timely way. You're just going to have to do too much at the last minute, particularly in Connecticut, because we're one of the few states. We have no days of early voting on top of our other questions about absentee balloting. So we have no time to kind of take the pressure off that one day. And that will be a challenge.